Afternoon. What I'm going to be talking about today has to do with a sacrifice to God, an offering we're supposed to make, a command which the Bible repeatedly makes, not only showing us how we can honor our Father, but how to be enriched ourselves. Interestingly enough, the principle behind all this was summed up by a Shawnee Indian leader named Tecumseh, who died around 1814. He was reputed to have said the following: "When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the morning light, for your life and strength. Give thanks for food and the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies within yourself." The concept of being thankful in all things and at all times is an eternal, godly principle noted in both the Old and the New Testament. And it's repeatedly referred to as an offering and a sacrifice. And more than that, one that God actually commands. That may seem like a harsh term in our modern language, but it simply means that God is telling us that in this way of thinking, we'll find His mind, His peace, in ways we can't imagine. So as always, He's telling us that going this way is the way of life. But like any muscle, physical or spiritual, we can only grow in thankfulness by slowly but surely practicing this habit, cultivating it, until it rules our lives, no matter what the circumstances. That being thankful is desired by God is stated, among other places, in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by the Apostle Paul. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually," and then he defines what he means by saying, "that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And we need to recall that in the Bible, the word name in reference to God always means his character. So when we're giving thanks, we're reflecting on the essence of his character, his motivations, his love and desires for our welfare in every way. But why would it be referred to as a sacrifice? Unless it's because thanks, giving thanks, at all times, costs. It can hurt, at least at first. For one thing, forcing our minds into a thankful mode of thinking in the face of circumstances that don't seem to give any reason for it takes a great deal of sacrifice. We have to sacrifice our own reasoning, first of all. As the Proverbs put it, don't rely on your own understanding. That's talking spiritually, philosophically, spiritually, emotionally. It means accepting once and for all that God's keeping of our life and how he guides our path is always going to be the best way. In fact, keeping us from problems and pains that would be even worse without his help and intervention. Nothing can touch us in this life without God's permission. So whatever comes to us, God is in there somewhere, guiding our lives toward the purpose he has in mind. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, through Paul, God commands, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The price of this, as we often interpret it, is trying to be thankful for difficulties and problems in life, remembering that God works all things for our good. Therefore, we need to be thankful even in those trials and tests. True enough. But also very difficult, especially in the midst of a problem. That effort of thankfulness, however, can act like an anchor for our sanity, reminding us that when all is said and done, God alone is in charge of our destiny at life and death and the future for all of us. But there's a more practical, down-to-earth side to all this, and it's simply this. Perhaps a problem in life is simply too traumatic to find even a glimmer of thanksgiving. Let's be honest enough to admit that. If we live long enough, we go through times that seemingly push us past our limits. In the Psalms, we see numerous statements of despair and anguish, wondering where God is and whether he'll ever help. That's a common human experience. Yet even at times like that, we can, if we learn this principle now, find other things, a host of things, to be thankful for. And focusing on those things will lead us back to God, back to understanding his hand and his comfort. This falls in line with Psalm 50, verse 14, which says, "Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor and glorify me." Note the sequence. If we find reasons to thank him on a continuing basis, if we're always approaching him first of all with thanks, for all the little things in life, for things in general, so many good things that we take for granted, then in a day of trouble, we'll find that in due time, God always delivers us. And then there's even more reason to thank him. If we're generally in a thankful frame of mind toward him, then our connection is always there. Our focus is what it needs to be when thinking of a faithful and dependable Father. And since he can see our hearts, he can then respond accordingly. So even if in those troubles we may feel lost and alone, we're not. In fact, quite often when we most feel that isolation, that's when God is closest to us. He's always ready and willing to help. Think about the experiences of Joseph in Egypt. If he could have known how it would all end up, the incredible blessings that would come for everyone involved, he would have been thanking God from the start. In fact, the only way he could become the prime minister of Egypt was by going through the sequence of events God allowed to transpire. God actually knew what he was doing. The same could be said of Job and the traumatic circumstances he had to go through. And the same can be said of us. Even when it doesn't seem like it, we're being led by a God who knows what he's doing and what he's allowing. And his wisdom and love will prove out. If we could learn to remember those lessons written for us, for our learning, we'd save ourselves a huge amount of needless grief and sorrow. Instead of complaining about the moment, if we could turn our thoughts toward the ends which God has in mind, we'd know, as with Joseph and Job, that we're in good hands and don't have to worry about the ultimate outcomes. We have a loving Father who's taking care of our lives more than we know. But all this does mean learning how to build that thankful attitude in just the way that Indian leader described. Each day, from morning to evening, find the things you have to be thankful for. Look for them. Try to count those things instead of the many hard or painful things that may be happening to us or transpiring around us. Don't let your focus be dragged so completely into the framework of this world's thinking that you lose sight of the love of God toward you. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8, skimming over it, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." Humanly, it's so easy to see the bad. We often lose sight of how much we're surrounded with good. And whether directly caused by God or not, the scriptures say all good things come from God. He makes it all possible. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. In other words, the good is always there if we choose to see it and then take the time to deliberately thank God for all of it, continually, each day. That's how we can honor our Father, by trying to be aware of the good things He gives, even in the midst of things that are bad. Make no mistake, God has laid out this principle, as usual, for our benefit. He's not just seeking praise. Because as we learn to become a thankful people, thankful individuals, we learn even more about God's character and love. We learn more of the kindness and mercy He surrounds us with, far more than we can imagine. And this frame of mind gives us a solidity, a sanity that revolutionizes our lives. Because then when the hard times come, and they are coming, it'll be in our nature to look for and even expect God's hand of help and encouragement in those troubles. It'll become our natural frame of mind, always ready to expect the best from our God, always ready to thank Him no matter what circumstances are facing us, and eventually knowing we can thank Him even in advance for help and answers we know are on the way. And the way we know it is by coming to understand God's love, His character, His desires, hopes, and dreams for all of us. Which is another way of saying that our trust for Him grows. And that is, after all, what faith is all about. We come to know His love and step by step practicing what He tells us to do. We come to fully trust in His love because we come to see how amply He demonstrates it. Those are reasons for thanksgiving. That's what being thankful leads us to. So to end where I began, with that particular quote, when you arise in the morning, give thanks for the morning light, for your life and strength. Give thanks for food and the joy of living. If we see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies within ourselves.